Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Thank you, Pastor Scott and worship team. I want to encourage you, if you grab your Bibles this morning and join me in the book of 1 John. We have been walking our way through a series on the book of 1 John called Live in the Light. We've been talking about the truth that when Jesus Christ saves us from our sin, that it transforms our lives, and it should transform the way that we live our lives. That we are no longer the same, we're a new creation in Christ. John, who is writing this letter, wants those who would be hearing and reading to recognize not only the truth of who Jesus is, but also the truth of what Jesus does in our lives when he transforms us. And so as we've been walking our way through the book of 1 John, we've been taking note of that. And the past 2 weeks, we've taken note of two truths. One that I think all of us know in our minds, and yet living them out in our lives may be difficult. But it's the truth that we should love God with every aspect of our being, and that we should love our neighbor as ourself. Jesus had given that in summing up the greatest commandments. He says, love God and love others. John here mirrors that in the last 2 weeks as we've been together, that we should love God with every aspect of who we are because of what he has done in our lives. And then as a result, we should love those around us as well. That's what John wants us to understand. And yet here we're about to get from John a warning. Now, as we get started, I need your help in something. I want you to think with me and to help me out, if you will. There is a light that comes on the dashboard of your car when you're about to run out of gas. How many of you know that? That's good, okay? Now, here's the thing about your gas light when it comes on. You respond one of three ways when that happens. Some of you, knowing that your gas light is about to come on, when you get to about a quarter of a tank, it triggers in your mind, I'm going to go fill up before the light comes on. Right? How many of you, that's you? Now, I want you to know something. Keep your hands up. If that's you, just keep your hands up. Look around you. These are incredibly trustworthy people, okay? I want you to know that. If you need a babysitter, those are the people that you go to, okay? Now, or else this has happened, they have run out of gas before, and they're thinking, that's no way that's happening again. So that's the first group of people. Now, here's the second group of people. The light comes on, and in their minds, they think, I need to find the closest gas station and fill up. How many of you, that's you? I mean, it's not a major emergency, but I really need to get this thing filled up. I don't want to run. You're somewhat reliable people, okay? So you're, put a check mark. Now, this third group of people, these are the people that you don't trust your kids with. Amen. These are the people that when the light comes on, they're thinking, I wonder how far I can go before I run out of gas. How many of you, that's you? How many of you have figured out the exact mileage you can go before your car shuts off? There you go. All right. Here's what we're going to see this morning from John. John is going to flash for us a warning sign for our Christian life. He's going to flash this warning sign for us to take note of an important truth. After he has talked about loving God and loving our neighbor, he's going to flash a warning sign for us in the Christian life that we must pay attention to. I want to read for us 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Here's the good news for you this morning. Three verses, which naturally for the preacher turns into 3 points, right? three verses, 3 points, and I want us to take note. I want to read the text, and then we're going to walk back through it this morning. This is what John writes. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Father, this morning, would you open our eyes to see? Would you open our ears to hear? And would you open our hearts to respond to your Spirit at work in us and through your word? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John issues for us a warning in verse 15. So if you're taking notes this morning, this is John's warning. John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, don't forget where we are in John's letter up until this point. John has talked with us about what love should look like in our lives as believers. So if you remember at the beginning of John's letter, he talks about the truth of who Jesus is, that Jesus was a man who walked this earth, that he was the very Son of God, that he took our sins to the cross. Not only did he pay for our sins on the cross, but he rose from the dead. And John says, along with those who had seen it firsthand, I was an eyewitness of this truth, and it revolutionized my entire life. It's the reason that I'm writing. It's the reason that I am proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done. And as a result of that, he says, this is what should mark our lives as believers. We should be a people of love because we serve a God who is a God of love. And therefore, we should love God with every aspect of our being, and we should love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what John has been reminding us in the text over the last number of weeks. And so this morning, John flashes for us a warning sign. And this warning sign says, do not love the world. Now, we love the Father, we love our neighbor, but John says, hang on just a second, before we press on in this letter, warning sign, do not love the world or the things in the world. If you do, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, here's what you need to understand with John and his use of the world in his letter and in his gospel. John uses it in a couple of different ways. If you rewind back to John chapter 1 and verse 10, John talks about God creating the world, the cosmos, everything that exists. Now, John is not saying here that you should not love the cosmos, the world that we live in. Now, you shouldn't love that above God anyway, but he's not saying that there's something in and of itself wrong with the world in which we live. In fact, if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you realize that God said something after he created the world and everything that fills it. He said that everything was very good. It's just when sin enters the world that we see the issues that transpire. So John here, when he says don't love the world, is not talking about the cosmos. Now here's another way that John uses the word world. He uses it in John 3:16. All of us probably know that verse. For God so loved the world. And when he uses world in that sense, he's talking about the people in the world. See, God loves people. It's the reason that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, because he loves people. And so here, John is not saying for us as believers that we should not love people. right? Because in fact, he just said last week, we ought to love our neighbors. We ought to love others. So in what sense then is John using this word world? Try to say that five times fast. What he's talking about here is a worldly system that is set up opposed to God. That's what John is talking about when he uses this word. He wants us to recognize, if we're not already cognizant of it, is that we live in a worldly system directed by Satan that is in direct opposition to God's rule and reign. We live in a world that functions in that capacity. And for us as believers, we have to understand that God has put us in this world, and we have that we have to deal with. And if we're not careful as believers, John says here that instead of loving God and loving others, if we're not careful, we'll begin to love the world and the world system and the way the world functions. And here's the thing that you have to understand is that when that happens, naturally, we put ourselves in direct opposition to God's rule and his reign here on the earth. What you realize very quickly when you look at the world system around us, when you look at those who would put themselves up in opposition to God, here's the thing that we're going to find out at the end of these verses. They lose. In fact, we know the truth that God wins in the end, that Jesus' rule and reign on the earth is true and it's final, and what was inaugurated at his death and his resurrection is going to be fulfilled at the end of time. We know that's coming, but we have to be on guard, John says here, that we are not loving the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So John issues that warning in verse 15, and in verse 16, it's always helpful when you get a warning to have an explanation of what that warning means. How many of you have ever had a light come on your dash in your car and you had no idea what that meant, right? You could either pull the handbook out and you could look at it and try to see in the owner's manual what that light means, or if you're like me, you can go down to Advanced Auto Parts and they'll hook up a little machine that'll tell you exactly what's wrong. That was free. You didn't have to pay for that this morning. Now, here's the thing. John's going to give us an explanation of this warning of not loving the world or the things in the world. He says, because all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. Now, if you look at those three things that he outlines there, the desires of the flesh, you could substitute in there, if it feels good, do it. Our culture promotes that somewhat, doesn't it? You just do whatever you want to. If it satisfies you, then you don't have to worry about whether it's right or wrong. You can just do it. It doesn't really matter. Then you have the desires of the eyes. If you see it and you want it, you can have it. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you're not supposed to have it. If you see it and you want it, you can have it. And then pride in possessions, or the pride of life, that we feel like we're important because of what we have, either materially speaking or what we have because of our position or our prominence in society. Now, John says all three of those things are the way that the world functions. This system that is set up against God and God's rule and reign basically says you can do whatever you want if it feels good. You can have whatever you want that you see. And everything that you get and everything that you have makes you an important person. Now you turn the TV on and that's what every advertisement says. You look at this world and that's what the world says. And yet John here offers a word of caution. Don't love the world, and here's why. Because those things, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions or pride in life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Now, I want to do something for us this morning to hopefully expand on our understanding here of those three things. And so I need you to be prepared to take a little trip in your Bible back to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. It'll be up on the screen for you as well, but here's what I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God has created everything that exists. Everything's good. Adam and Eve are walking in relationship with him. There's no sin in the world until we enter chapter 3 in Genesis. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" I want you to notice verse 6 and think about what we just looked at in verse 16 of 1 John chapter 2. Notice what happens in verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." When Eve was tempted by Satan, I want you to notice what she finds out. She says, "The desire of the flesh, that looks good. I'm hungry, and I can eat that fruit. Not only is that going to satisfy me, but it's absolutely beautiful. The lust of the eyes. And if I eat it, I'll be like God. I'll be wise." Pride of life or pride in possessions. See, here's the thing about Satan. He hasn't changed his MO. He comes at us with the same thing that he came at Eve with. In fact, he comes at us and he says, "Listen, this will make you happy, whatever this is. It'll satisfy your deepest longings. If you see it, you can have it. It will make you somebody." Eve fell for it, and so did Adam in Genesis chapter 3. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life or in possessions. Now fast forward with me just a little bit to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 records Jesus as he's tempted by Satan. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, "Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights," hello, "he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' The lust of the flesh." Jesus is hungry because he's been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. And Satan comes and says, "There's some bread if you'll just turn those stones into loaves. But Jesus answered, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him to the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. I want you to notice what Satan does there. He started with the lust of the flesh. Jesus, I know you're hungry. And here are these stones that are right in front of you, and I know that you can make those into bread if you really want to. Go ahead and do that. But here he appeals to something else, to the potential pride that Jesus may have, and yet we know that Jesus doesn't because he's perfectly sinless. And yet Satan attempts to go at him by saying, I know you're important. Pride of life. Throw yourself down and God will send his angels to come and to catch you before you hit the ground. Notice Jesus' response in verse 7. Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. And listen to this. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. The lust of the eyes. Jesus, I'll give you all of this if you'll worship me now. Satan hasn't changed his MO. It's the reason that in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, we see him go at Eve in that way. We see him even with Jesus as he's attempting to tempt him in the wilderness. We see him go for those three things, and we see John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, remind us of those same three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in possessions or the pride of life. See, here's the thing. Every single one of us, Satan will attempt as believers to draw our attention away from following God and to focus ourselves on these things. I'm not sure what it is in your life. I'm not sure what satisfying your flesh looks like in your life, the lust of the flesh. You know what that is. I don't know what that is. I know what it is in my life. For you, it may be chocolate cake. I just like chocolate cake. And I want to eat chocolate cake. It may be whatever fills you that makes you feel like you have what you need. It may be for you the lust of the eyes. There may be things that you see that you don't need to see. And that Satan is using that constantly in your life as a way to get you knocked off course. It may be pride in possessions or the pride of life. For every single one of us, there are things that fit in those three categories. And here's the thing that we have to recognize. What John is flashing for us is this warning sign saying to us, those things are not from God. You see, what we've realized as we've looked at the text is that Jesus satisfies every single thing for us that we would ever need as a believer in life. Jesus fulfills all of those desires that are lesser than in our lives. You know what Paul says in Romans chapter 1? That instead of worshiping the Creator, that people started worshiping things that they thought would make them happy, that would satisfy them. But he says they'll never do that. God has created those things. So the person we should be worshiping is God himself. If we're worshiping things, then we have lost sight of who God is. See, John wants us to recognize that there's a warning sign flashing in front of our eyes this morning.
do not love the world or the things in the world. Because if you do, you've got to understand that those things are not from God. In fact, those things would attempt to set them up in God's place in your life so that you would worship those things instead of worshiping Him. And here's what we recognize. There's nothing that will satisfy us in our lives but God Himself. And we can spend our lives trying to worship any number of things, but John says that's futile for us. God is the only one who is deserving of our worship. If we're going to live lives that are glorifying to Him, if we're going to live in the light as He's talked about here, if we're going to love Him and we're going to love our neighbors, we've got to make sure that we're not loving the world and the world system and the way the world thinks and the things that the world throws at us. Do not love the world or the things in the world, for the love of the Father is not in them. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride in life or pride in possessions. John's warning in verse 15, John's explanation in verse 16, but I want you to notice and cling to this promise that John issues in verse 17. The world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Why is it futile for us to chase after the world and the world system and the things that the world offers? John tells us, because the world's passing away. Why would we invest our lives, why would we invest ourselves as believers in things that are not going to last? That's the wrong investment for us in our lives to make. Many of you are probably investing. You're hoping that what you invest in is going to bring returns down the road. And John here is saying your returns will be decimated if you invest in the world system and what the world has to offer, because it's passing away. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So as we think about our lives as believers, that's the easy question that we have to ask ourselves. What are we investing our lives in? Are we investing our lives in this world system and what this world has to offer? Are we trying to attain something that we think we need to have, materially speaking? Are we looking at things around us and desiring those more than we desire God? Are we satisfying in our lives the flesh instead of satisfying the Spirit of God at work within us? That's the question for us this morning, and the truth that we have to cling to as believers is, as crazy as it may cause us to look in this world that is vested in itself and pushing its desires, what we do for God, the lives that we live to glorify Him, following His will for our lives, it lasts for eternity. The return on investment in following God is eternal. That for us should cause us to ask the question, am I investing in what's eternal or am I investing in what's temporal? And what's temporal is not going to last, but what's eternal, John here tells us, will last for all eternity. The warning sign is flashing this morning for you. Are you investing in just what this world has to offer? Have you bought into the world's system, even as a believer this morning, and that's what's making your life right now? Or have you recognized and understood that the only thing that will last in your life is that which is done in following the Lord? It's the only thing that will last. It's the only thing that will last for all eternity. In all truth, it's the only thing that matters.